This week's daf is Chagiga daf Chav Hei. We left off at the Mishnah about six lines down by the bottom of Chav Dalet Amud Beis. So the previous Mishnah on Chav Dalet Amud Beis had discussed the chumros of Kodesh over Truma. This Mishnah discusses the opposite, a chumra of Truma over Kodesh. So says the Mishnah, Chomer b'Truma shebi hudu ne'manin altaras yayim eshemen kol yimos hashana. So the chumra is by Truma that in the city of Yehuda, which is a certain region, Eretz Yisrael, in which Yerushalayim is located as well. So ne'emanin, here we're referring to Ami Haaretz, those who are not careful about Tumah Tahara, they are nevertheless believed on the purity of wine and oil during the rest of the year. So what does this mean? This means that, says Rashi, that we're talking about Hekdesh. So let's say you have Hekdesh oil or you have Hekdesh wine that was designated to be used as libations on the Mizbeach. So if it was made Hekdesh at the time of the olive press or the wine press, which is generally a time when people are more careful about Tumah Tahara, if that's when the Am Haaretz made it Kadosh, then they are believed to claim, even to a Kohen Chaver, someone who does care about Tumah Tahara, that they guarded it with Tahara for the entire year. So that's what the Mishnah means when it says, Neman in Altaras Yayim V'Shemen in Kol Mos Shana, the Ami Haaretz, who are Makdish the Yayim V'Shemen during the olive press season or the wine press season, they're believed to say that they guarded it even during the rest of the year. U'B'Shas HaGisos V'Habadim, but if you're actually during an olive press season or a wine press season, then afal ha-truma, then those Ami Haaretz are even believed to say that they guarded truma properly. Whereas in the first case, when it's not during one of the pressing seasons, they are actually not believed about truma, only about kodesh. That's the chumra of truma. We'll see why. Avru hagisos ve'abadim. Let's say the season passed. Ve'evivu lo chavish shel yayin shel truma. So we said that they're not believed about Truma. So what happens though? The Am Haaretz brings you the Kohen Chaver, the Kohen who's makbid on Tumah Tahara. He brings you a barrel of Truma wine. So we said in the Mishnah previously, a line ago, that the Am Haaretz is not believed on Truma unless it's during a pressing season. But here it's not during a pressing season, but yet the Am Haaretz brought it to you. So says the Mishnah, you cannot accept it from him, because as we said, he's not believed. Aval manicho l'gas haba. He's only not believed now because it's not currently a pressing season. What you can do is you can tell the Am Haaretz, hold on to your barrel and wait till the next pressing season and then bring it to me. Because the rule is, during a pressing season, the Am Haaretz is believed. V'im amar lo, hifrash yilasocha revias kodesh, neman. If the Am Haaretz says to the Kohen Chaver that in this barrel there's some truma wine, but there's also at least a revias of kodesh wine mixed in, then the Am Haaretz is believed both on the kodesh as well as the truma. Now we said in the beginning of the Mishnah that he's not believed on the truma, only the kodesh. But over here it says Rashi at the very bottom, demigo de nemana kodesh, nemana truma. That over here, since he is believed on the kodesh, and now this contains a mixture of both kodesh and truma, so therefore we're going to believe him also on the truma as well. Kade yayin v'kade shemen hamadu maos. If you have barrels of wine and oil that are mixed, at this point, we think they're mixed, a mixture between Truma and Chulin. So, Neman Alein B'Shas HaGisos V'Abadim, the Kodim L'Gisos Shivas Shivim Yom, that the Ami Haaretz are believed on this mixture during the pressing seasons, as well as 70 days before the pressing season, which Rashi says, people would begin to prepare their Kelim B'Tahara even 70 days before the pressing season. Okay. So let's see the Gemara over here. So the Gemara says, "B'Yehuda inu b'Galilo." It sounds like we're only believing the Ami Haaretz in Yehuda, but not in Galil. So for some reason, we don't believe the Ami Haaretz in Galil at all. So my taima, what's the difference in Yehuda and Galil, two different regions? So I'm Reish Lakish, Mipnei, Sherutsua Shel Kusim, Mafsekes Beinehem. As Rashi points out, to get from the Galil to Yehuda, you had to pass through a strip of land that was occupied by Kusim. And Rashi explains that Chacham made a gzeira called Eretz Ha'amim, which is that this land which had a lot of goyim and a lot of dead bodies and a lot of graves, they just declared the entire area, both the land and the airspace, to have a tumah derabanan. And therefore, how could people in Galil carry any type of hekdesh to Yerushalayim or to Yehuda if they were going to have to pass this strip of land, which would make them tameh? And so it's not that we don't believe them because they lack some type of trustworthiness. Rather, it's simply the fact that in order to get to where they need to go, they have to pass over this land, this strip of land, which will automatically be metameh them. Now, the Rishon Letzion, one of the Mefarshim, quotes the Rambam in the Parashat Mishnayos, who says that we singled out Yehuda from other lands because other lands, the Jews lived together with Goyim. So they can never really guard B'tahara properly. They have nothing to talk about. Yehuda, where Yerushalayim was, that was a land that was occupied primarily, almost exclusively, by Jews, and that's why there wasn't really a concern there. Now, this issue of the fact that Galil is on the wrong side of this strip, so to get from Galil to Yerushalayim, you have to pass over the strip of Tumah, so all the Mefarshim ask, Tosfos brings it up here as well, well, if that's the case, then how could anyone in Galil ever be Olel Regel? What's the problem? Well, this Tumah of Eretz Ha'amim seems to have required Hazaa Shlishi Ushvi. If you pass through the Tumah, you then had to go through a sprinkling process on day 3 and day 7, a 7-day Tara process. And Tosfos actually leads off as a Tzarachin. He doesn't know how they would be Olel Regel in the Galil. So in the Gilyan HaShas, Rav Akiva Eiger references the Shalos Chu as the Shar Ephraim, who was a student of the Chalkas Mechokek, a colleague of the Shach. He doesn't understand Tosfos' question. Why can't you simply say that they were Olel Regel and they just always came more than 7 days before the Regel to allow themselves enough time to purify themselves? However, he justifies Tosfos' question as maybe between Pesach and Shavuos, it wouldn't be enough time to go home, come back, and wait 7 days each time. However, he says that's not pshat either. The Gemara above Metzia tells us that they only needed 15 days until the last person would get home. So really, you would have time. So he also doesn't understand Tosfos' question. He also asks why Tosfos only asked about Eli the Regel. What about bringing Bikurim? How did people in Galil bring Bikurim? However, over there, he says you could answer that maybe they brought fruit that was not machshir l'kabel tumah yet, or they bought the Bikurim in a certain type of sealed basket. There are many other answers given to this question of Tosfos. Tosfos Yontav on the Mishnah answers that actually Chazal were lenient by Aliyah L'Regel. There are certain kulas on the Regel, and one of them is that they allowed one to be Olel Regel in spite of the fact they'd be passing over, and they said that for this one instance they would not become Tameh. The Turi Evan just answers like the Shaar Ephraim suggests initially, that the people in Galil would simply make sure to be in Eretz Yisrael at least 7 days before the Regel. The Chaznish gives a very interesting answer. He says that, what do you mean? The people in Galil were Pater. One of the Paturim for Aliyah Regel, as we saw on Daf Daled and Beis and Maseches Chagiga, is a Tameh. So if in order to cross over they would become Tameh, people in Galil simply were not Aliyah Regel. Just like we find in Menachos, in the midst of Tzitzis, if you don't have a four-corner garment, you're not chayiv in tzitzis. So to hear, if you're going to have to become tameh to be Olel Regel, you don't have to be Olel Regel. Interesting answer. The question Rav Vosner asks in a tshuva, in Shevet Alevi, is, well, how can Kohanim nowadays go from Yehuda to Galil, pass over this strip of Eretz Ha'amim? So Rav Vosner answers that this tumah was based on the kusim who lived there. And nowadays, that's just not simply the facts on the ground. And so, Rav Vosner suggests that this tomb of the Eretz Ha'amim, which separates Galil and Yehuda, actually does not even apply nowadays. Okay, either way, that's why in Galil they weren't believed, because they would have to pass over this strip between Galil and Yehuda. Says the Gemara, V'nese b'shede tevo migdal. Why couldn't the people carrying the Kodesh between Gaul and Yehuda just simply lock themselves in a wagon and be pushed through this strip, in which case they'd be sealed in an ohel and they wouldn't have to deal with this tumah. So the Gemara answers, problem is, Hamani Rebbe he. The author of this is Rebbe, the Amr Ohel Zarek Lavshmei Ohel. The problem is that the way they'd be fortifying themselves would be making an ohel, which would therefore separate from the tumah. The problem is that Rebbe holds that a moving ohel is not considered a valid ohel. It doesn't actually separate anything. So here, they might be on the wagon in a box, but if the box is moving, that doesn't actually act to separate. D'tanya, Hanichnas la'aretz ha'amim b'shei tevu migdal, Rebbe metameh, that even though they're in a box passing over this strip, Rebbe says you still become tameh because it's an ohel zaruk. It's a moving ohel. Ribus Yerihuda mitaher. Okay, but this was going according to Rebbe, and that's why that's not a good suggestion. It says the Gemara, v'laisua b'klicheres ha'mukaf tzmid p'sil. Why couldn't the people put the kodesh, put the hektish, in an earthenware vessel that's sealed properly? As we know, there's a special rule when it comes to an earthenware vessel, that it's not metame on the outside of the vessel, only in the avir, the airspace on the inside. So at least as long as it's sealed so that there's no way to get into the airspace, so then the hektish should be fine, even when passing through this strip. Rabbi Eliezer, shonen in hektish nitzol b'tzmid p'sil. Yeah, the problem is there's an exception to that rule, that this concept that a kli cheres hamukav tzmid p'sil can protect the contents doesn't actually apply to hektish. And therefore, putting hektish in this would not actually save it. So interestingly, the Chidah and the Pesach Einayim here, he asks, well, if this earthenware vessel that's sealed protects chulin, so why don't you just bring chulin across the strip, and then after you're across, then be makdish it. So that way you get it across without it actually being hektish. Once it gets across, then declare it hektish. So the Turi Evin seems to answer this question. He says that there's no way to do a harama here. You can't trick it. That if you later are makdish it, it would still be usher to do it even beforehand and be makar it. So you couldn't really get around that. You would think that it says no halacha l'maisa application, but it actually does. The Bach, in his comments to the Tur in Hilchos Chanukah, says because of this halacha, that this concept that a klicheres hamukav tzmid pasil doesn't save hektish, he said, the Bach says, that's why by Chanukah, the oil needed to have the seal of the Kohen Gadol. Because if it didn't, it would become Tameh through Ohel. If it didn't have its Smid Psil on it. So the Rosh Shlomo Kluger, in Shalom Shuvah Eitz Chaim, asks on the Bach, that what do you mean? The Bach saying that you needed to have a seal of the Kohen Gadol, because otherwise it would become Tameh through Ohel Meis. What do you mean? We say in our Gemara that Hektish is not saved by Mukaf Tzmid Psil. So how would it help? So Rav Kluger answers, no, this by Chanukah it's a Shvus. We don't apply Shvus in a Mikdash, but just remember this is actually a discussion by the Bach on the Tur in Hilchos Chanukah about whether or not the Kli Cheres HaMukaf Tzmid Psil saves Hektish. Says the Gemara, is this really true? That hektish is not saved by an earthenware vessel that's sealed. V'atanya ein chatas nitzal b'tzmid p'sil. If you had mayim chayim, water that was going to be mixed with the ash of the paraduma to make the sprinkling, that is not saved by this earthenware vessel. If it's inside, it will still become tameh. So the diak is my lav hakodesh nitzal. Oh, maybe the water from the chatas is not saved, but regular hektish would be saved. Says the Gemara, no, that's the wrong diak. Lo. No, only the mechatas, the water that's already sanctified for the paraduma process, that's what's not saved. What is saved? Regular water that has not yet been sanctified, that is saved by the earthenware vessel that's sealed. Says the Gemara, v'ha'amar ula charaya malchim beglila. So you see, what they say, in Galil, they used to prepare all their wine and oil and make sure it's pure. So Ula asks, what's the point? If we just said that in Galil, nobody's believed because at the end of the day, they're going to have to cross this Eretz Ha'amim, this little strip that will make them Tameh, then why in the world were the Chaverim, those who were Makban and Tumat Tahara, why would they make sure to make their Shemen and Yayin Tahar, when no matter what, they're going to have to make the Tameh by passing over this Eretz Ha'amim? So the Gemara says, Manichin l'kshiavo Eliyahu bitarena. The answer is, you're right. On the surface, it doesn't make sense. But they did it anyway, because they were always hoping and praying that Mashiach would come, Eliyahu HaNavi would come, and he would show them a path in which that they could reach Yerushalayim without having to pass over the strip. Now, it's unclear from the Rishonim, the Achronim, whether this means that he would show them that there's really a way to get around it, or if Eliyahu HaNavi would give them a one-time dispensation, a heter, to cross it. The Tosos Rid over here says, from the fact that they're waiting for Eliyahu to tell them something about the Beis HaMikdash, it sounds like we're talking about after the Churban HaBayis. As if the Beis HaMikdash was still around, then why would they be waiting for Eliyahu to come? Eliyahu is going to be the one to help build the Beis HaMikdash. But the problem is, said the Tosos Rid, if it's after the Churban HaBayis, then how do they have the Efer Para in the Galil? The Efer Para was reserved for the times of the Mikdash. Tosos Rid says something very interesting. He says that actually in Galil, they stored away Efer Para, they kept it from the times of the Beis HaMikdash, and actually used it after the Churban to still purify people, even when they were in Galus. That's how he explains that. Okay, we said in the Mishnah, B'shasa Gisos Nemon Nafal Truma, that if it's during the season of an olive press or the wine press, then the Amei Arts are believed both on Kodesh and on Truma. And again, the logic was that during this time, people in general were very makbid on the Tuma Tahara status of their Kelim, so we could believe them. So the Gemara asks, Zerminhi, Hagomer Zesov, Yishayer Kupa Achas, Vietnenel in a Kohen. So the issue over here is that we have to know a little bit of a background here. The Mishnah is talking about the fact that when a person is pressing olives, so there's going to be liquid coming out. We know liquid is what's machshir something to be makabel tuma. So if the liquid gets on something, it makes it fit to become tuma. And if an ama aretz is handling it, that's going to be a problem. But we know the rule that when it comes to being machshir makabel tuma, the liquid has to be something that you want to come out. So if you didn't want it to come out, then it's not going to be machshir makabel tuma. So the issue an ama aretz has is that when he's pressing olives, the second that he presses the olives and the olive oil comes out, if he's handling that, now all of a sudden the oil is being mashal kabel tuma everything, and he's handling it, and we assume he's tamei, and that's going to be a problem. So the Mishnah says, what should he do if he wants to make sure they remain tahor in order to be able to give truma to the Kohen, and the Kohen be able to accept it from him? So he should be yishayir kupa achas, leave over one barrel that's unpressed, so no liquids come out, and show it to the Kohen, so the Kohen could see that it's not wet yet. And Rashi points out, and then the Kohen himself will press it. So what do you see from here, says Rashi? That this is during the pressing season. It's during the season of the olive press. And yet we're making the Amah Aretz go to the Kohen, show it to the Kohen, let the Kohen do the pressing himself. Didn't we just say that during the pressing season, the Amah Aretz is believed to say everything's done b'tahara? So the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Nachman lo kasha, ha b'charfi, ha b'afle. The question is, what's considered the pressing season? So Rav Nachman answers that when do we say in our Mishnah that we believe the Amei Arts during the pressing season? That's b'charfei. That's early on in the season. At a time when most people press their olives, then if an Amei Arts comes to a Kohen during that time and presents him with Truma, the Kohen can accept it because we assume it was during the main season where everyone's doing it, so everyone's metahir their kelim. However, if it's ba'afle, if it's after most people have already pressed their olives, so now already the Amei Arts is not believed, because this is not really considered part of the olive press season where the Amei Arts is believed. And that's when this Mishnah Taharos is saying that Amei Arts has to bring this to the Kohen and show him, because it's after the season. So it's not really at a time where he's believed. So Amar Leir Rav Ada Barava Kigun Mai Kosen Shel Beis Avicha. He says, you know what? I have an example. My family used to always be the last ones. We always used to come at the very end of the olive press. So you see, there was this concept. There was an early part of the season, and there was the late part of the season. Rav Yosef gives a different answer. Rav Yosef Amar Begalila Shanu. Just a difference in location. Our Mishnah that said the Amei Aretz are believed, that's talking about in Yehuda. In Yehuda, they were believed. However, says Rav Yosef, I'm talking about in Galil. In Galil, they were not believed even during the pressing season.
they were not believed. Now, why not? What was the problem? It was the pressing season. So Rashi explains, because in Gala there weren't many Talmidei Chachamim there. So there was nobody to metahir their kelim, even during the pressing season. Tosos gives a different explanation. He said it's because in Gala they had so much oil that they would all end up bringing the oil at the end of the pressing season, so much so that in Yehuda, everyone would already have pressed their olives. So the chiddush is that even though it's still quote-unquote pressing season in Galil, if nobody is pressing olives in Yehuda, then they're not even believed in Galil. Meaning it sounds like, according to Tosos, we go by the pressing season in Yehuda, even with respect to the Galil. Okay, Esvi Abaye, is this really true that in Galil they're not believed? Eivir HaYarden v'Galil, both in Eivir HaYarden and Galil, Harehin Yehuda. They have the same believability as in Yehuda. Neman nahayayin b'shas hayayin. B'yal shemen b'shas hashemen. They're believed during the wine press season on the wine, and the olive press season on the olives. Avalo al yayin b'shas hashemen, v'al shemen b'shas hayayin. They're obviously not believed in the wine during the olive press season, or the olives on the wine press season. What do you see from here, though? During the pressing season of that particular item, even in the Galil, the Amei Arts are believed. How do you explain Rav Yosef? It says the Gemara, you're right, we have to reject Rav Yosef. El mechor v'ta kishini me'kara. We reject Rav Yosef, we go back to our original answer, our Rav Nachman, that the distinction between our Mishnah and that Mishnah in Taharos, about whether Amei Arts are believed or not when it comes to the oil of Truma, is, it depends if it was really the early part of the season, in which case the Amei Arts are believed, or if it was the late part of the season, that's already too late, and then they're not believed anymore. Okay, good. Continuing on. We said in the Mishnah that if the pressing season's over and now the Am Haaretz wants to bring a barrel of truma to a Kohen Chaver, the Kohen Chaver can't accept it. But what could he do? He could tell the Am Haaretz, keep it in your garage and give it to me at the next pressing season, then I could accept it. So the Bnei Yeshiva asked Rav Sheshes, let's say the Kohen didn't do the right thing, and even though it wasn't a pressing season, he accepted a barrel of truma, wine, from an Am Haaretz. So he wasn't supposed to do that, but he did it. So he's not allowed to eat it now. But can he store it in his own garage, in the Kohen's own garage, and then take it out during the next pressing season and eat it, and drink it? So Amar Lahu, or Shesha says, Tani Tu, we have a support for this, we have an answer to this, turning over to Chav Heim Ubez. See, we have to know a little background here. So when a father passes away and leaves over two sons, he has a Yerusha, gives over an inheritance. So there's two ways to think about how that inheritance goes down to the brother, to these two brothers. Do we say that it comes down sort of to one of them and then that can pass on to the other one? Or do we say that they divide it equally and then it turns out retroactively that whatever each one took, it's as if the father gave it to only that one. So why is this relevant? Because there's a concept called brera. Brera means that after you do something, retroactively it turns out that's always how it was intended. So let's say a father leaves over $80, right? Four $20 bills. So if each brother gets two 20s, so we could say that retroactively it turns out that the father wanted this brother to have these two 20s and this brother to have these two 20s. But the problem is, what if the father gives something that's not necessarily allowed to be had? So the case we're discussing here is where the father was in Am Haaretz, and he leaves over some truma. He leaves over something that's not, he's not really allowed to leave over. So says the Gemara over here, Am Haaretz yachol lomar tolata chitin shel makom ploni v'ani chitin shel makom ploni, or tolata yayin shel makom ploni v'ani yayin shel makom ploni. So let's say you have the two brothers. One of the brothers is Am Haaretz, and one of the brothers is a Chaver. So he leaves over some Tamei Truma and some Tahar Truma. So the Chaver brother is thinking, I better get the Tahar, and I'll leave my other brother, the Am Haaretz, with the Tamei. The problem is, that would be fine if we said Brera, because Brera would mean that after we divide 50% of the 50% Truma Torah goes to the Chaver brother, 50% Truma Tamei goes to the Am Haaretz brother, and Breru would tell me that retroactively it turns out that's exactly what the father intended to do. But if it doesn't work like that, then it turns out that the Chaver got everything, and then what's he doing? he's giving Tamei Truma to his brother, who's an Am Haaretz? Isn't that Lifnei Iver? You can't be machshil someone in Israel like that. I don't care that he's an Am Haaretz. You can't just give him Tamei Truma. So really, the Gemara is saying now that the brother can do that. We say Breira, and therefore, if it's, let's say the father leaves over 100 bundles of wheat, 50% of them are Tamei, 50% are Tahor, the Chaver brother can say, I'll take the 50 Tahor, you take the 50 Tamei, and it's not a problem if Ne'iver, because we see Breira, retroactively, that's really what was destined for each brother. And similarly, when it comes to wine, again, the Chaver brother will say, I'll take the 50%, that's Tahor wine, you take the Tamei wine, that's fine. Aval says the Gemara, Lo Yomar Lo, Tolat Halach Vani Yavish, Tolat Achit Vani Sorin. The concept of Breira doesn't work when you're dealing with things that are not like kinds. So in the case we gave, it was 100 of the same type of stalk of wheat. But let's say the father leaves over 50 bundles of wheat and 50 bundles of barley, or 50 bundles of wet wheat and 50 bundles of dry wheat. There, you can't say Breira, because we have to assume that the father intended to split every type of item that he bequeathed. And therefore, this brother can't say to the other brother, oh, I'll take the yavish, because he'd rather take the dry. The dry is not mashal kabotoma. And you, I'm an arts brother, you take the wet stuff. Or I'll take the sa'orim, which are all tahor, and you take the chitin, which are all tame. That doesn't work, because that would be lifnei iver, because you can't say breira. Vatani Allah, we say about that. So now, what's he going to have to do? So what the chaver is going to have to do is, he's going to have to take half of the bad stuff as well. They're each going to have to take half bad. So the chaver will be left with some tame stuff. So what does he do with it? So we say, Oso chaver, surif halach umaniach hazayavish. So again, he's going to be left with 25% yavish and 25% lach. Again, the lach stuff, because his father was an Am Haaretz, we have to assume that it became tame. So he's got to burn it. He can keep his yavish, he's got to burn it. Says the Gemara, Amai, why does he have to burn it? Why can't he just leave it for the next pressing season? So the assumption over here is that when the father died, it was during a non-pressing season. And so that's why they couldn't assume it was Tahar. And now we're saying that this Chaver son has to burn his father's Truma because we have to assume it's Tameh. Well, if we say that a Kohen who receives Tameh Truma can simply keep it in his garage until the next pressing season, and then during that season we'll assume it's Tahar again, so why can't this son who's a Chaver simply store the Lach item in his garage until the pressing season? At that point, it will become Tahar magically, because the pressing season itself, we assume, gives it a status of Tahara. From the fact that we don't say that, that would seem to indicate that the Kohen may not do this. And that's Rav Sheshis' answer. Says the Gemara, it's not a good proof. Says the Gemara, what are we talking about over here? B'davar she'ein lo gas. Who says we're talking about olives or wine? Maybe the father left Shechar Tamarim, Rashi says, date honey, and it doesn't have a pressing season. And therefore, when the Gemara says burn, it just means throw it out, destroy it. Says the Gemara, okay, fine. That explains why you couldn't leave it over to the pressing season, because there is no pressing season for dates. However, as we're going to see in a later Mishnah, the Chachamim made a decree that during the Regel, during Yontif itself, and Chol Hamoed included, we assume the Amei Haaretz have a status of a Chaver, like they're Tahar. So certainly this Chaver's son, why didn't he just store this Lach Truma that we assume is Tameh, stored in his garage until Yom Tov, take it out on Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, even though it's date honey, that's fine. Take it on Yom Tov, and then on Yom Tov, everything gets the status of Tahar again. The Gemara answers, B'davar Shein Mishtamer L'Regel. In a Chanami, that would be a good suggestion if we were dealing with an item that could last that long. Maybe you're talking about it's June, and he would have to wait until October to the next Regel, and by then his item would go bad. So the only option he had really was to burn it. Okay. Very good. Continuing, we said towards the end of the Mishnah that even though an Am Haaretz in Yehuda is believed on Kodesh and not believed on Truma when it comes to wine and olives, but if he says I have a barrel of Truma, but mixed in is at least a revius of Kodesh, so he's believed, because as Rashi pointed out there, we say, Migo, that he's believed on the Kodesh aspect, it grandfathers in the entire barrel. So says the Gemara, Tanan Hasam. We have a Mishnah in Ahalos, which says the following, Modin Beisham Beis Hillel, Shebotkin Lo'osei Pesach, Veinbotkin Lo'ochei Truma. So over here we're talking about something called a Beis HaPras. A Beis HaPras is a field that used to have a cemetery, a graves there, but was then plowed over. And the concern is that if there's a bone that's the size of a Seora, a barley, that could actually be Metame, a person, not Ba'ohel, but if he touches it, if he walks on it. So we're concerned that people who need to remain tar walk past this, through this Beis HaPras, their foot might kick up a pebble, a barley-sized bone from a previous grave, and that's going to be Metame then. So says the mission over here, that Beis Shammai agreed to Beis Hillel, that they would allow some type of procedure to check these fields when it came to those who were walking on their way to do the Karban Pesach, but they wouldn't allow this check for those who were going to eat Truma. So my Bodkin, what was this process? Rav Yehuda, Shmuel, Minafeyach, Adam, Beis HaPras, V'Holech. You know what they would do? They would have the people going to go make their Karban Pesach, if they would pass through an area that was known as a Beis HaPras, before they would walk, they would just blow on the ground. If there was a pebble of a worth of a bone, it would blow away. So every step, they would just blow on the surface. If nothing would come up, they would simply walk there. And that was the way they were able to walk through the Beis HaPras, by blowing to make sure nothing would be there. V'Reb Chiya bar Abba Mishmei De'ula Amar, Beis HaPras She'nidash Tahar Losei Pesach. A different suggestion. We know that if a field that used to have a grave was trampled on many times, at that point, we're not really concerned that a bone's going to pop up because they've been sunk into the ground by repeated trampling. So what they would do is, the people who were going to go bring the Karban Pesach, they would just find the path where everyone's trampled and walk along that path, because they could be assured that at least along that path, there was no bones. However, why they make this distinction between those who were going to bring the Karban Pesach and those who were going to eat Truma? Because lo hamidu divrayim makom kares, lo chay truma hamidu divrayim makom misa. Because when it comes to the Karban Pesach, yes, I'm over here, the Gilgan Marsha explains over here, that by the Ochle Pesach, we say they're tahar. Why? Because even though there's an Isser kares to eat the Karban Pesach batuma, but there's also an Isser kares to be mevatel eating the Karban Pesach. So therefore, they allowed doing this type of search, either the blowing or going on the trampled path, because to not bring the Karban Pesach may be an Isser Kares. Whereas by Truma, they kept the Gzeira of the Beis HaPras. They did not allow them to do the search. Why? Because even though there's only a Chiyav Misa to eat Truma Betuma, but there's no Kares for being Mevatel eating Truma. So they said, just don't do it. Interestingly, over here, Halalah Maisa comes up, because Tosos over there in Psachim and Daf Sadi Beis says that for Tumas Kohen, which is only an Isser Lav, they actually allowed letting a Kohen walk through a Beis HaPras for the Tzorach of an Eruv, or learning Torah, or getting married, even without a search. So it sounds like, from there, that a Kohen can walk in a place of Suffik Tumah B'Shus HaRabim. So it's a big kash on the Mechas Chinuch, who has a suffix about this. He said, we should say suffix darais l'chumra. So the question is, can a Kohen enter an area which is a suffix tumah versus a rabbin that really comes up from this sugya? Says the Gemara over here, Yibay Luhu, they ask the question, Batak l'pischo, Moshe yochal b'trumas, and we'll see how this connects to our Mishnah. Let's say a person was going to the Karban Pesach, so he did the blowing, type of procedure in order to pass through the Beis HaPras. So he did it. Can he now also eat Truma? Meaning he passed through the Beis HaPras, and we're saying he's tar enough to bring the Karban Pesach. So once he did that, can he also now eat Truma B'Tahara? But we wouldn't have allowed him to go through the Beis HaPras and do this blowing procedure in order to eat Truma. So you hear why it's a little bit questionable. So Ula says, Badak l'pischo, mutar lachal b'trumaso. Ula says, yes, once we allow him to do this type of search procedure of the blowing or the trampled path, for the Karban Pesach, he's allowed to then eat Truma, grandfathered in through this procedure. Rabbar Ula Amar, Badak L'Pischo, Asa L'Chal B'Trumaso. No, He's only allowed to do it for the Karban Pesach. He may not eat Truma based on the Tara he achieved through going through the Pesach process in this way. So, Amar Le'ahu Saba, a certain elder said to Rav Bar Ula, Lo Tifag Ala De'ula. Don't argue on Ula, who said that when you do this procedure for the Karban Pesach, you're grandfathered in for Truma as well. Meaning, Ula's right. Why? Titan Kavasei. Because our Mishnah supports Ula. Where do you see that? Because our Mishnah says, Vim Amar Ifrashi Lasocha Revias Kodesh Neman, if the Ama Aretz has a barrel of mostly Truma, but a Revias of Kodesh, we say because he's believed on the Kodesh, the rest of the Truma's grandfather, and he's believed on everything. So Alma, we see, Dimehemena Kodesh Mehemenam Ya Truma, once he's believed on the Kodesh, he's also believed on the Truma. So Hachanami, here too, Midimehemena Pesach Mehemenam Ya Truma, since this individual is believed to pass through the base of Prospetara, because he's going to Shechet Karban Pesach, he's now grandfathered in to also be believed to eat Truma with the Tara status that he gained walking through the base of Pras in this way. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Kadayim v'kadei shemen. We said barrels of oil and barrels of wine that are a mixture, which we thought meant a mixture of Truma and Chulin, that during the pressing season, an Am Haaretz is believed on them. Says the Gemara, Tana, Einem mana lo kankanem lo ha-truma, that Am Haaretz are not believed on the barrels themselves, nor on the Truma, seemingly during the non-pressing season. Says the Gemara, Kankanem demai. But what do the barrels have in them that we're saying the barrels themselves are viewed as tameh? Ikan kanim de kodesh. If we're talking about barrels that are filled with hektish oil or hektish wine, migo de mehemen kodesh mehemenam yakan kanim. So I don't get it. If you have a barrel filled with hektish wine, and we said in the Mishnah that the Amaris is believed on the hektish wine that's inside the barrel, so of course the barrel itself will be tahor, just like the wine or the oil inside of the barrel. Ella, it must be kankanan de truma. It must be the barrels that hold truma. And what we're saying is, because the Ama Aretz has not believed on the truma inside the barrel, he's not believed on the status of the barrel itself. Says the Gemara, that's obvious. Pshita. Hashta a truma lo mehemen. If he's not believed on truma inside the barrel, a kankanan mehemen, would he be believed on the barrel itself? Ella, it must be we're talking about two possibilities. Either bere kanim de kodesh, we're talking about empty barrels that once contained Kodesh, but no longer contain them. And now it's after the pressing season. So it's true. During the pressing season, the Amaretz was believed on the wine and the barrel itself. But now, these barrels have been emptied out. Now it's during the rest of the year, not a pressing season. Now we have to assume if this barrel is being handled by an Amaretz, we have to assume this empty barrel that used to house Kodesh, but now does not, and it's not during a pressing season, we assume that barrel is Tameh. Or, b'malein de truma u'b'shas agisos. It might be another alternative, what this Bryce is talking about, is we're talking about a barrel that's filled with truma, but not during the pressing season. Because we said in the Mishnah that, during the pressing season. Because we said in the Mishnah that during the pressing season, the Amaretz are even believed on truma. So the chiddush would be that the Amaretz is believed on the truma, wine or oil inside a barrel, but not believed on the barrel itself. And Rashi points out, even though that sounds very counterintuitive, that you have a liquid inside a barrel that we're saying is tahor, but yet the barrel itself is tameh, and somehow those two do not connect or affect each other, as we'll see later in the Gemara, in the next daf or so, that this concept really does exist. You could have two items that are even touching, and one can remain tahor, and one can remain tameh. So says the Gemara, Tnan, Kadayayim v'kadei shemen hamadu ma'os. We said there's barrels of oil or wine that are mixed. So my love, midu ma'os de truma. So doesn't this mean that they're mixed with truma? And yet, the Mishnah is talking about the non-pressing season. And yet it says the Amaris is believed on the barrel. So how can you tell me we're talking about, when we say you're not believed on the barrel, we're talking about full barrels of truma during the non-pressing season? But the Mishnah seems to say explicitly that during the non-pressing season, you have a mixture of truma and chulin, and the Amaris is believed on the kadei shemen, the kadei yayin, the barrels themselves he's believed on. Says the Gemara, no. Amar de beruchia, midumos de kodesh. No, you thought incorrectly. We're not talking about mixtures of truma and chulin. We're talking about mixtures of kodesh and chulin. And that's no proof to what we said previously about the Amar being believed by true, by the barrel of Truma during a non-pressing season. Says the Gemara, Umi ika dimua kodesh? Do we find this concept, this word, dimua by kodesh? Rashi points out, that's not really a lashon dimua. By kodesh, we never really find that. Dimua is lashon that it hasn't been fixed. Right? When you have tevel, you have to then take truma off the tevel. So dimua is a lashon. We have a mixture that's not been fixed yet. That word, dimua, doesn't really apply to kodesh. Nothing really needs to be fixed by kodesh. So amri debei rabbi Eloi, b'metaharas tivlo, lito menu nisachim. The case in the Mishnah is really we are talking about dimua of kodesh, but it actually has many components. It has part chulin, part truma, and part hektish. So it's not really a proof that we're only talking about truma over here. Now, what does it mean you have hektish over here? So Rashi and Tosfos both explain that it's not hektish right now, but you've designated wine that you eventually will be makdish for libations when you need it. And therefore, that's part of the mixture. So again, it's not a disproof to what we said previously. You still could say that one of the possibilities when the Braisa says that they're not believing on kankanim, we're talking about kankanim that are filled with truma during the non-pressing season. And you're not believed on the truma, and you're not believed on the barrel as well. Finally, the Mishnah said, kodum l'gisos shivim yom, that not only are the Ami Aretz believed during the pressing season, both on kodesh and on truma and on dimua, but even 70 days prior to the pressing season, as Rashi pointed out, that seems to be when people start to get ready their kelim in order to have the olive press and the wine press ready during the season. They get it ready 70 days before. And so the second they start to get it ready, they make sure to have all the kelim b'tahara. And therefore the Ami Aretz already believed 70 days before. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaye Shva Mina, you see from here, Dinahu de'ila ve'arise, l'mitrachal gufe shivin yomin makmi matzarta. You see from here that a sharecropper or someone, a worker, who's involved in the wine press or the oil press, he makes sure to have all his kelim ready to go, or at least b'tahara, at least 70 days prior to the start of the season, as that's when everyone gets it ready, and that's when we can believe everyone that they have a cheskas tahara on those barrels. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll continue from the next mission next time.